Psalm 54, for the director of music with string instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites had gone to Saul and said, "Is not David hiding among us?" Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me, people without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes.
I sent round some sheets. There's some colouring sheets. There is a Trekkers worksheet, and there is a sheet for group and anyone else who wants to fill in some of the things from the headings that I'm going to put up. Hands up if you'd like one. Alice is going to bring them round if you didn't manage to do that. Caroline, got seven there who need them, I think. I'd like you all thinking of the last game of hide and seek that you played. Where is the best hiding place in your house? Under the bed? Who thinks it's under the bed? Who thinks it's in a cupboard? Who thinks it's on the roof? Excellent. Okay. Keep Psalm 54 open and think of a giant game of hide and seek. Only in this game, if the seeker finds the hider, he kills him. That's a pretty nasty game of hide and seek. And that is what Saul was playing with David. It wasn't a game. It was not fun. You can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 3. David had a band of followers with him. There might have been 600 men hiding with David. Now, you know how hard it is to hide on your own. Imagine trying to hide with 600 others. That's quite hard. And not surprisingly, people would see where he'd hidden. Saul was jealous of David. He hated the idea that David might take over from him as king. And it was unfair and horrible for David to have to be running away from Saul. And worse, people he thought he could trust, the Ziphites, had betrayed him. Do you see the heading at the top of this psalm? When the Ziphites said, "Isn't David hiding among us?" That's them telling King Saul, "Here he is, come and get him." So poor David felt like he was going to be captured and killed. It was the worst game of hide and seek you could ever imagine. You get caught, you die. Have you ever felt really helpless? Have you ever felt as though just around the next corner might be the thing that will end your life? Some people have felt a bit like that with COVID this year. Perhaps you've been scared because of an illness, or scared for someone else with an illness. And it doesn't seem if there's any way of escape. It's just a matter of time until the worst thing happens. Maybe you've had feelings of panic. You just wanted to curl up in a ball and wait for the end to come. Perhaps something hard has happened at work or at school and someone's got it in for you and is making life really hard. In fact, you know they want to get rid of you, or they bully you. And they're just waiting for the right moment. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe it's at home. Someone you should have been able to trust or rely on has hurt you, and you know they plan to hurt you again. You've got no one to turn to, and there seems to be no way out. What do you do if you're feeling like that? On the tracker sheet, the bubble says, next time something bad happens, what would you do? I'd like you to talk just right where you are. What would you do when something really bad happens? What have you done? Just quickly, 30 seconds, what would you do when something really bad happens? All right, can you look up, please? And I'm not going to ask you. Could you look up, please, and look at me? What would you do when something really bad happens? Well, Psalm 54 is what David did. And it's in the Bible to show us what we can do. Look down, let's look at it closely. There are four things that happen. He cries out to God, he tells God his problem, he speaks what he believes out loud, and then he praises God. Cry, tell, speak, praise. You say them after me? Cry, tell, speak, praise. Those are the four things you can do. First one is cry out. Cry out to God for help. It's the simplest thing. It's not a hard prayer. Look at verse 1. Save me, O God, by your name. That's his prayer. That's him crying out to God. He says, save me because of who you are. That's what he means when he says your name. Because of what you've said and done in the past, save me. God has rescued millions of people out of slavery. He's provided food for them in the desert. He's given his people rescuers, champions to lead them in battle. He stopped the enemies in their tracks many times. God is his name. That's what he does. So I'm going to cry out to him. Save me. That's not a God. Would you mind, if you've got the time, then do with a little bit of saving, please? It's not that. It's crying out to God, I need your help. Save me. It's getting on your knees and trusting that he is your hope. Save me, O God, by your name. He then says, vindicate me by your might. What that means is, can you make it fair, please? We hate it when things are unfair. God is a God of fairness. Make it fair, please, God. Prove the one in the wrong to be in the wrong. Don't let unfairness win. I know you can do this because you're powerful and mighty and able. Save me. Make it fair. Hear my prayer and listen, Lord. That's what he says next. Listen to the words of my mouth. Now, I know and you know that God can hear your thoughts. Did you know that? God can hear what you are thinking. You don't have to speak out loud to know that God is hearing what you're thinking. Let's try it right now. Okay? Think of someone you would like to become a Christian. Just think of their name in your head. Okay? Everybody got the name of someone they're thinking about. Someone you care about who doesn't yet know Jesus. Don't tell me their name, but think of them. And everyone, put your hand up when you've got someone's name in your mind. Okay? You're thinking of their name. God can hear you thinking of their name. And we're going to pray it. So don't say anything out loud. Please, God, bring this person to faith in you. Save them, oh God. Now, you didn't say anything, but God heard 80 different prayers right then. Isn't that cool? You just prayed in your heart, and God heard every word. But David spoke these words. He wrote them down. Look, hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. That's why lots of people keep prayer diaries, a book with the things in it that they are praying. They can look back and read what they prayed and even say to God, look, Lord, here's what I prayed. Hear my prayer. Hear the words of my mouth. And there is something about praying out loud that helps our prayers be as real to us as they are to God. So do try it today. Let your cry to God be on your lips. Perhaps it'll help to pray with others. I find it's much easier to say a prayer with other people. So pray with your mum and dad. Say prayers. But the first thing to do when you're in any kind of trouble is to cry out to God. Let him know you need his help. If you carry on thinking that you can cope on your own and you don't cry out to God, please don't be surprised that no help comes yet. We need to learn to do what David did when he was in trouble. He was a brilliant soldier, a leader of men, a great musician, someone everyone knew and loved. And still, he cried out to God when he was in trouble. Now, if David knew to cry out to God, why won't we? Why do we think God will help us if we don't ask him? If we don't cry out to him? Do you see, God is teaching us to cry out to God, like David did. Will you do that? Well, before you do, there's more. Look at the next thing David did. Can anybody tell me what it is? There's some signs on the wall. There's something on the screen. We're going to have that up. Cry, tell, speak, praise. Remember? So we're going to look at tell now. Tell God about your problem. Look at verse 3. What did David say? Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. David has got a real person who's got it in for him. That person is Saul. He's a king with a whole army ganged up against him. He is arrogant, which means he's proud. And he thinks he can get away with anything. He's ruthless. That means he will show no mercy. He's cruel. He will not show any gentleness. David tells God his problem. Have you poured out your problem to God? Have you told him exactly what's troubling you? Better yet, have you written it down? Whatever it is that's frightening you and what you think you're up against. Now listen, sometimes it's good to turn general fears into a list of what is real. And then in your prayer, say to God, this is what I'm up against. There are real dangers. These are nasty people. I'm in real trouble, God. Try not to leave things out. I don't have a very big brain, and so writing things down helps me remember things and not to miss things out. God wants us to be specific when we pray to him. And if we do that, it stops us being worried about something we can't quite put our finger on. Have you ever had that feeling? You're worried, but you don't quite know what it is, and you're frightened, but you can't quite say what it is. Well, if you list the things that are real, then you won't need to be worried about something that isn't. Tell God exactly what the problem is. So here's some examples. Lord God, save me by your name. Listen to my prayer. My mum is dying and I can't help her. I don't know how I'm going to cope. Or, my illness is getting worse and I can't get the help I need from the hospital. Or, my job is on the line. They want to get rid of me and I don't know what I'll do if I don't have a job. Or, someone has spread untrue rumors about me. It's not fair and there's nothing I can do about it. Do you see? Pray your problems to God. Let him know. Look at verse 4. This then is the heart of the psalm. He's cried out to God. He's told God his problems. What does he do next? What does he do next? Speak. He speaks what he believes. There's no way through there, Philip. You have to go around that way and in. He speaks what he believes. Here is David's faith on display. He's talking to himself, and we get to listen in. Surely, he says, God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. He speaks what he believes. He's saying what he knows to be true about God. God is my help. Surely he is the one who sustains me. Now, saying it doesn't make it true. It's already true. But saying it in his prayer reminds him who God is. It reminds him about the God who has saved him from sin and death already. He's reciting his faith. What does he say? Verse 4, let's say it together. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Now, if you look closely, there are more places than verse 4 where he says what he believes. Look at verse 1. When he says, save me, he's saying, I believe God is a savior. When he says he is mighty, he's saying, I believe God has power. And verse 6 and 7, he believes God is good and he's the deliverer. Maybe he was really terrified and he couldn't see how God was going to save him. People who are really sick and no medicine's working, people who have no power of their own and their enemy is arrogant and ruthless, they often don't feel like praying. They feel like there's not much hope. Perhaps that is you today, frightened, sad, sick, hurting. Well, you need reminding, and in this psalm it seems you need to remind yourself, of what is true about God. Why not write things down, like David did? It'll help you to see them written down. What have you believed about God? You may not feel strong in your faith at the moment, but do what David did. Go over who you know God to be. Speak what you believe to God. Say things out loud. Write them down like this. You are strong and powerful. You know what's going on. You can see my heart. You've rescued millions of people. Sent your own son into the world. You love me. You've made sure I heard the good news. You've given me another chance every time I failed. You've saved friends of mine. You can move mountains. You are always fair. You won't let unfairness go unpunished. You're my God. I'm your child. Do you see? Speak what you believe. David, in the midst of real danger from being killed, said, God is my help. He's the one who keeps me going. So ask yourself, what have you really said to God? Have you prayed like that? Have you spoken what you believe to God? Please don't think this step is unnecessary. We are forgetful people. The way we remember things best is we go over them again and again. Who's learnt their 9x table? Okay, I'm going to test you. What are 7 9s, Jessica? 63. Yes! And you were able to do that because you learnt it off by heart. Who else thinks they know their 9x table? Okay, Levi? Levi, let's test you. Did you really? You ready for a test? That's a no. Dad says no. We'll try William. You ready, William? 6 9s. I don't want Max's answer. I want your answer. Is that Philip? Sorry, Philip. How many is it? Okay, Philip. 6 9s. There we go. Okay, you learnt them because you learned them off by heart and you said them again and again and again. It's like that, the truth about God. Will you say it off by heart to yourself? Will you say things that are true about God? Search the scriptures for things that you can say to God. I'm in Colossians in my quiet times. I love reading and being reminded that Jesus was there before anything was made, and that by him everything was made, and he holds everything together. And because I read it, I said it to myself, and I've been reminded. Okay, last thing. After crying out, telling God your problem, speaking what you believe, what's the last thing you should do? Praise God. In fact, the title is Plan to Praise. Look down. He says, verse 6, I will sacrifice a free will offering to you. He's going to respond to God, to who God is and what he's done, with an offering. Now, I don't know what that was, but it was voluntary. He didn't have to do it. He wanted to. And he says, I will offer up something to you, God. I will show you how grateful I am. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. Perhaps it's happened to you. Someone tells other people about something great about you or good that you've done. They are praising your name. Maybe you overheard it. Made you feel amazing. Well, praise God's name. Say to him that you praise him. Tell others about God for his name, which means he is good. Look at verse 7. You've delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes, my enemies. Isn't it amazing? Nothing's quite changed at this point. He's still being chased by Saul. He could still be caught the next day and killed. But he's so sure about who God is, he says, you have delivered me. It's as though he can see into the future and that future has come into the now. He was so sure of what God was like because of what God had done in the past, he could plan to praise him for his own rescue. Now listen, the last thing, the Christian's life, who is united to Jesus, no matter what hard thing they're in the middle of right now, can have enough confidence in God, in what he will do for them, that they can speak about it as though it's already happened. I can't speak about anything else like that. I can't speak about how many medals we're going to win at the Olympics. But I can speak about God's rescue like that. It is so sure, I can speak about it as though it's already happened. He is coming back. A friend of mine visited someone in hospital who was dying of cancer. He only had a few days to live. My friend, a bit shockingly, asked this person, so what's it like? That's not really a question you should probably ask, but he'd asked it anyway. And he said to my friend Rico, with a little smile, Jesus is risen. He was doing what David was doing in verse 7 of Psalm 54. He was saying, whatever happens, and I know I'm going to die soon, God has delivered me from all my troubles. My eyes have looked in triumph on my enemies. Jesus is risen. He's conquered death. Soon there will be no more pain. No one will be able to hunt me or frighten me. Jesus will have me by his side. I'll be singing his praises. I'm just getting in some praising ahead of time. He is risen. Do you see? You can praise him in the midst of trouble, because his rescue is so certain. So will you really cry out to him? Stop looking around as though you can get the help you need from somewhere else. No, cry out to God. Will you tell him your trouble? Lay it all out. Will you speak out what you've believed and keep doing it, and then plan to praise him? Today's troubles are real. And they hurt. But with Psalm 54 in your mind, who God is, you can plan to praise. So look forward to Jesus' coming back, his guaranteed rescue. We can live now as though it's already happened. And that changes everything. Psalm 54. Let's try the four words that'll help you remember it. Together, cry, tell, speak, praise. Okay. While it's fresh in your mind, I would love you to talk with those around you, perhaps with those behind you, if you dare, and try one of these two questions. What horrible situation have you ever found yourself in? And did you pray like this? Can you think of horrible situations that you might share and the kind of prayer that you could pray? Or what have you learned about God from Psalm 54? So we're just going to take maybe 3 minutes to do this. Mums and dads, please help your children to think about it. On Zoom, we'd love you to do the same. Okay, 3 minutes. There are your questions. Okay, one more minute, and if you've got any questions, we'll have them at the end of that minute. One more minute, and then we'll have questions at the end of that minute. All right, let's look up. I hope the next time, or if you're in the middle of trouble, you will pray like David. This is so that we can pray the way God wants us to. Cry out to him. Tell him your trouble. Speak what you believe, and then praise him. I would love there to be questions. We might even try and see if there's any questions from the Zoomers. I think there's 8 or 9 screens. And I've got one question from the floor down here. So if you say it, I'll speak it so people can hear it on Zoom. Ezra's got one as well. We'll try Chloe first. Okay, Chloe. I think you know the answer. The answer is there's nothing too trivial for God to hear. Okay, I don't feel, Chloe said, I don't feel like my problems are as bad as being chased within an inch of my life. So should I really bother God with my little issues? I think the answer is God wants to hear his children speak to him about everything. And if you're in the practice of talking to him about the small things, it'll make it easier when the big things come along. Please don't just save your prayers to God for when you feel like you can't handle it yourself. That is to treat God as a slot machine giver. Treat him as a parent who loves you and wants to be involved in all of your life. Great question. Get in the habit of crying out to him. If it's not for you, Chloe, think of the millions around you who don't yet know Christ. Cry to him for them. Tell God about them. Speak what you believe about him then and praise him. Thank you. Ezra, I'm ready to hear your question. How do we know that the Bible is true? I'm not going to answer that right now because it's such a good question. I'm going to see if there are more questions on Psalm 54 first. But you're allowed to catch me afterwards and make sure I answer your question. Is that all right?
There's quite a few behind
me. Oh, good. Is there any more on the floor down here? William at the back. The way I've understood that is, look, I will do a sacrifice that's got nothing to do with the rituals or the programs or the systems that we already have in place. I'm just going to give you, from my heart, something that's free. I don't have to do this. It's not part of my religious system. But I am so grateful to you, I am going to demonstrate my thanks. I think that's what it means. Anyone else in here? I've got one on Zoom. I think that was the one Joanna had. Yeah. Lovely to hear from Jethro and June that God has heard their prayer and rescued them. I think there's not more on there. Anyone else? All right, let me pray for us, and then we'll sing our last song. Well done, everybody. Please remember Psalm 54 this week. We're going to be reading 55, 56, 57, 58, 59. There's an amazing set of psalms this summer. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for putting David through that hard, troublesome situation so that he could pray and write down what he prayed and teach us to pray. Help us to pray the way he did, crying out to you, telling you our problems, speaking what we believe about you and praising you for the rescue you will do. Amen.